Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractors Business CD of the Month. This monthly CD web series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy & Associates' vision of teaching contractors how to run profitable businesses. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. We've heard the term, if you're not growing, you're dying. Well, much of our profitable growth depends on how the company is structured. Improper structure of the company will not only hamper growth, but it can ultimately cause it to move toward negative profitability. Being properly structured for growth is critical. This month, Lawrence Snow is going to share his thoughts on how to properly structure your company for growth. Lawrence should be an expert, as he's worked literally every aspect of the business. He began as an installer and soon moved to the position of service manager in another company. In 1982, he purchased Anytime Plumbing in Las Vegas, transforming it from $250,000 in annual sales to over $15 million with 170 employees in less than 10 years. As you might have expected, his company caught the eye of consolidators, which soon resulted in the sale of his company. Lawrence's next move was vice president of business development for a franchise operation in 2002. Lawrence is currently helping other trades companies grow and prosper as the coach for Quality Service Contractors, an enhanced services division of the National Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling Contractors of America. If your company is growing, this presentation will have special value to you. Get your pencil and paper ready. It's time to take notes.
Structured for growth. Why do we need to be structured for growth? What happens if we are not structured for growth? How do we fund growth? How do we define growth? There are many things that come up as we grow our companies. Things like, do we separate our dispatch from our frontline call takers? Do we hire a controller or a bookkeeper? And the list goes on and on. As we grow, there are several sizes of companies that will inherently have issues with profitability. If your company is about $900,000 to $1.3 million in sales, you can expect problems with growth unless you have planned in advance. This same growth hits us again at about $2 million range and goes to about $2.4 million in sales. You will not notice the pain as much in the latter, however, the same problems seem to rear their ugly heads once again. Okay, let's say that your marketing dollars are starting to pay off. You now need to start adding trucks in the field. At what time do you start adding overhead personnel? An overhead person may need to be a support person in the office or a supervisor in the field. Is it better to add these overhead personnel before we add trucks? Do we stretch our office support people to the point of major overtime and burnout, or do we control the above items by adding and training support staff before we experience problems with burnout? It is amazing when I visit contractors in North America how each operation is structured. You could have two companies with the same revenue, and there is a major difference in how the companies are structured. Some of these similar companies are making about the same amount of money, however, some are not structured for growth. Some service companies run very well with a ratio of field-to-office staff of 4-to-1, meaning 4 team members in the field to 1 in the office. Others run very well at a 2-to-1 ratio, 2 in the field to 1 in the office. The more customer support your company performs, the more service agreements you sell, and the more in-house marketing you do will bring your field-to-office ratio closer to 2-to-1. You may say that 2 techs in the field to 1 person in the office seems really high. My response to you would be, are you marketing to your existing customers? Are you doing follow-up calls to make sure your customers are satisfied with your services? Do you offer service agreements? The list goes on and on. Retention of existing customers is far cheaper than marketing to new ones. Existing customers will spend more money with you than new customers by about 20 to 25%. As our companies start to grow, the infrastructure of our companies need to grow at the same pace or faster. I have seen $2 million companies still dispatching with a map on the wall. As we grow, we need to get out of the mom-and-pop type computer systems and get into a more sophisticated system. There is information you can use to manage your company effectively from large systems more than from the mom-and-pop systems. Yes, there is a major difference in cost in computer systems, however, If you use the system to help manage your operation instead of just a location to store data, you'll be money ahead. Sometimes it's better to invest more now on software than it is to get into a system that will not grow with you and maybe even hamper your growth. If we don't get the right software today, then we'll have to make that change again to a different software in a few years. Now, isn't that something to look forward to? Almost like going to the dentist, isn't it? As we start to grow our companies, it is very important to have job descriptions for each team member. Have each team member write on a piece of paper the major items that they do on a monthly basis. Have the owner or manager collect these job descriptions and compare them to each other. You will find the same items on several different lists. Find out why several team members have the same items on their task list and correct or reassign the task as needed. Type these lists and have each team member post them in a prominent location in their work area. Make sure you put the last item on each list, other tasks as assigned. That last statement, other tasks as assigned, will help in adding tasks as needed and also stating that there are other items that may have been left off the list that may be added later. I will never forget a meeting that I was called to by a couple of my managers in my company in Las Vegas. I had recently promoted from within two managers to help grow a couple of departments. I kept stepping into their management roles and making decisions for their departments. Yes, I as the owner can do those kinds of things since I was the owner. However, I had hired two qualified team members to assume these manager roles. However, I kept micromanaging their departments. In this meeting, they asked what I had assigned them to do in their job responsibilities, and I spelled it out for them. One of them finally got bold enough to state to me, basically, to get out of their business and let them run their departments. That was a slap in the face to me. This was a company I had grown from one truck to about 15 at that point, and these two managers were telling me to get out of their life and let them do their job. Don't we all need that slap in the face to wake up occasionally? After that meeting, my company started to grow very fast. At times, too fast. The difference was I let these managers run their departments the way they felt best as long as the ultimate goal was in mind and their business decisions were well thought out. Yes, they messed up along the way. Sometimes it cost a bunch of money to correct the mistake. The real key is that these managers identified the problem, corrected the problem, put a plan together on how to not let that rear its ugly head again, and came to me and told me all about the problem and how it was corrected and the cost involved. The real key is that the problem was handled quickly and I did not have to touch it. At times, I felt like going home and kicking the dog. Then I thought, what good would that do? Move forward and put the past behind you with lessons learned. As our companies grow, us as owners and managers need to delegate more and more responsibility to those around us. Yes, that is a very big challenge at times. One thing we need to make very clear when we hire someone in management is that there is a starting point and here is where we're going. How do you as a new manager intend to get us there? Let the new manager spell out their ideas and present them to you for your review. You need to remember there is more than one way to get to the end result. Give the new manager the latitude to do things their way even if mistakes are made along the way. Didn't you make mistakes along the way at some point? Coach the manager as needed along the way to the goal, but do not dictate. If you dictate a course, you may as well do the task by yourself. Micromanagement is a major issue in small business success and failure. When hiring a manager who will be working in the field and or will be working in charge of some sort of sales in your operation, you need to make sure that this person is on a salary with a bonus potential. I am a firm believer of low salary and high bonus opportunities. If most decisions that a manager can or will make affect their bonus, don't you think they'll make more prudent business decisions? Tie the manager's bonus to items that they can control. Most managers' bonuses are tied to the gross profit line of your financial statement. A manager can help control the sales of the product as well as the cost of the services performed. Most managers do not have a lot of say in what happens on the overhead expense side of the company. This leads me to the accounting side of growth. How are you going to have a bonus program set up unless you have accurate and timely financials? You should be able to receive your January financials by the 10th of February, and your February financials by the 10th of March, and so forth. If you cannot get your financials by this time period, you need to look at the process and figure out what is wrong. There are many small and large companies that receive their financials by the 5th of the month. Some people tell me that they do not even get their supply house statements or bank statements until the 10th of the month. My response to them is to change their suppliers or banks. This is the computer age. Most vendors and banks have web access to these accounts. Use these services. If your accounting firm is the holdup on getting timely financials, change accounting firms. When your financials are received timely, you can congratulate your team or take corrective action with your team before it is too late and another month is gone. As our companies get larger, owners need to keep stepping further and further away from their businesses and start working more on their business. You'll become a numbers person. In a lot of situations, we have a technician turned owner. How do you turn this tech into a numbers person? Aren't numbers nauseating sometimes? Numbers actually can be fun, believe it or not, when you know what you're looking at and how different decisions affect your company's numbers. I remember my business in Las Vegas when I was getting financials monthly. I did not even know what they meant. I received my financials in color so I could look at the bottom line, and if it was in black ink, I thought I had made money that month. I started taking some community college classes to learn more about accounting and what makes the numbers tick. Yes, that hour every other day and all the homework really paid off. School started to be fun and a lot different than when I was in high school and college before. I started to manage by the numbers and things changed in my operations. As we start to grow our companies, we should look at outside and inside sources to help grow and manage our businesses. If we as owners and managers want everything our way, it can sometimes remind us of that spoiled child that either we raised or one of our neighbors raised. You know the ones. Are you the one? The only difference now is that we are running a business and our decisions affect the lives of several team members and their families. Wouldn't it be a better option now, we are all grown up, to get help in growing our companies? How about starting a steering committee in our companies? This could be a committee of key team members who have a lot of potential and are forward thinkers. Working with this team can be a lot of fun. One of the first things you need to do is to call each one of those people into an interview and ask them if they would be interested in taking part in the steering committee for the company. Tell them why you feel they'd be a good fit for the team and ask them for their acceptance of the position. Call the steering team into a meeting and explain what the steering team is all about. Let's say your company is about $1.5 million in sales today, and you would like to see what their opinion is and vision of the company is when it reaches $2.5 million in sales. And what is it going to take us to get there as a company? Look at the structure of the company going through the process. Today, you have about 13 to 15 team members, and tomorrow, you may have about 23 to 25 team members. What positions are needed, and do we have those people on our team today? One important process to go through with this team is to go through a SWOT analysis of your company. SWOT stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Dig deep as you list lots of items under each SWOT item. These items need to be written on a flip chart and posted for the entire group to see. Owners, as you go through this process, remember you may need to have a thick skin as some of the items that come up. Do not take offense. Look in the mirror. That is your team's perspective of how things are being run. You may think that you have a perfect company and come to find out you have been wearing those rose-colored glasses again. The real challenge in this process is to identify your weaknesses and turn them into strengths, and to identify your threats and turn them into opportunities. As you sit in the steering committee meeting and you have identified items that need to be worked on and find the best person in your operation for a certain task, and make assignments to have this person follow up on these projects through their completion. The real strength in the leadership team is the follow-up on assigned projects. Follow-up is key. Each task needs to have a starting point and an end result with benchmarks in between. You should ask the assigned person how long this task should take to complete. You may also want to ask what kind of budget they need as well as manpower to complete the task. If you assign a task, you will want to commit the team member to the described task. and its time frame as well. An idea of commitment is as follows. Joanne, as we have discussed the task at hand with the group, do you have any questions for the group? Is this a task you feel you could perform in the time we have discussed? Joanne, will you do it? Do not hurry up the project just to get it done sooner. Remember, that is why you have assigned this task to someone else, so you can do other things yourself. Do not micromanage the task process. Remember to inspect what you expect. Have your first steering committee meeting as described above, and have a return and report meeting in 1 week. You'll find as you commit your team members in front of their peers, you'll find out that the assigned team member will not want to let the rest of the team members down, and the task will be completed on time. In a steering committee meeting the second week, have each team member report on their assigned task. Now let's be negative for a minute. Let's say you have a team member that accepted a task and committed to complete the task, and no progress has been made in a 1 week period. What is the next step? With the group present, ask the team member how the team can help you complete the task at hand. This kind of process separates the men from the boys, so to speak. In some cases, this will weed out the bad apples in your operation. If your company is going to grow from this point to the next, is this team member the person that's going to help us get there? Remember, there are leaders and there are followers. Let's talk for a few minutes about the structure in the field or the operations side of our businesses. As a small company, the owner typically is in the field running a truck and performing services. Then it's time to hire a new technician to help in the field as your business grows. This adds more management work to the owner's already busy day. The owner, who is normally a top-selling tech, now has his task bucket full of tasks he has to do daily. Now, with more team members on board, there are many more tasks that have to be put in the bucket. If something goes into the task bucket, something else must come out. What task is not going to be done? What jobs are not going to be done correctly or very well at all? Ever wonder why there are so many 3 to 5 truck operations? We tend to hire techs a lot faster than we add office personnel. This lack of vision on the owner's part causes the owner to start working a lot of long hours. Sound familiar, anyone? Most of us have about 8 to 10 hours a day that we are good for productive work. Many of us work many more hours than that. We have now stretched the owner to the point that many tasks, and some of them very important tasks, are not even being looked at. Sometimes we lose focus of the very basics of our business and what put us on the map in the first place, or what will give us a bigger presence on the map in the future. Some of the very basics of our business that we lose control of are as follows. Number 1, customer service and follow-up with our existing customers. Number 2, the financial side of our business. This means tracking sales daily, weekly, and monthly, getting timely financials monthly, and taking time to review them and knowing what they mean. Number 3, inventory control. Inventory control seems to be a small item, however, let's look at a company that has a good inventory system. This company may send a technician to a supply house for materials 2 to 3 times a week, and most of the time these materials are items that would not be stocked in a truck. A company with no inventory control may send their techs to a supply house 1 to 2 times a day. Yes, the parts cost about the same in either case, but let's look at the labor cost and the vehicle cost. There are several national and local supply companies out there that will help you set up a fully managed inventory system. Use their services. You will find sales will increase in the field because the tech will know they have the materials on their trucks to perform the task at hand. If you as a technician had to look at another trip to the supply house to make a repair at a customer's home, would you possibly make a different decision about the repair? Number 4. You make uninformed marketing decisions and end up throwing a lot of hard-earned money in the wrong direction in your marketing efforts. The list can go on and on and on. As we structure our companies for growth, that costs money and sometimes lots of it. Where do we get the money? Do we fund growth through our money in the bank? In most cases, that is not going to happen because of a cash-poor situation in a lot of our companies. Where do we get the money to expand? At what point do we ask the bank for loans? These are all tough questions to answer sometimes. The time to ask a bank for money is when you don't need it. Why would you ask the bank for money when you don't need it? When you're in a cash-poor situation and you can see payroll coming up, that is not the time to ask the bank for money. As a banker, would you loan money to a company that has not managed their cash in a prudent fashion? One of the best times for a company to ask the bank for money is when things are going well and you have cash in the bank. Normally, that's the furthest thing from our mind, is to ask the bank for money when things are going well. One of the best kinds of loans to obtain from a bank is a line of credit. Lines of credit can be used for several kinds of short-term needs, and I emphasize short-term needs. Lines of credit should not be used for long-term needs. Things like buying equipment and vehicles, do not use lines of credit for these items. Lines of credit are most commonly used for payroll and paying off suppliers by your discount date in order to get your discounts. Most lines of credit need to have activity on them to keep them active. Most lines of credit need to be paid in full at least once a year and kept at a zero balance for a short period of time. Do not make it a habit to use your line of credit to pay your payroll. This is where a lot of companies get into trouble. You will be in a rob Peter to pay Paul type situation if your line of credit is used for payroll on a consistent basis. Once you have established a line of credit and have shown your banker you can control your cash, it makes it a lot easier to ask for other types of loans. Let's say now it's time you need to purchase some new equipment for expansion. This loan may be for a new vehicle or equipment or even office equipment for your business. How much of this expansion should you finance? In most situations, I recommend you finance as much of the purchase as you can. This philosophy is cash is king. Keep your cash for operating your business and let others finance your growth. If you were to put $20,000 cash into an $80,000 purchase, your cash in the bank has been depleted by $20,000. How long will it take you to recoup this $20,000 in the bank? Remember, you now have payments on this new equipment, and sometimes this new equipment, when expansion is concerned, will not immediately pay off for itself. So as more and more cash goes out the door to expand your operation, this $20,000 will come in really handy. What kind of information is the bank going to ask for when you ask for money? Number one, they will ask for a business plan. Tell about your business and explain what the loan is going to be used for. Number two, a budget. Number three, a forecast of cash. Number four, the SWOT evaluation, like we talked earlier, and this can be part of your business plan as well. Number five, your profit and loss statement and also balance sheets for the last 2 years. And number six, 2 years tax returns for the business and sometimes the owner or owners as well, even if you are incorporated. Do not take your personal tax info to the bank unless you are asked for it. Just be prepared to furnish this information. Call and make an appointment with your banker. If you take a few hours in advance of your visit to the bank and prepare the above items and place them in a binder, you'll be miles ahead. What will this show the banker? The banker will normally only see this kind of organization coming from large companies that have been down this road before. I have also found if you take your packet to the bank with all your data in an electronic format as well, it will save a lot of paperwork on their part in bundling your package for review. The first thing the banker does with your packet is to head to the copy machine. If the banker was able just to press a button and print everything out you have given them, and they don't have to leave their seat, you will score immediate points with them. Don't we all like to take the easy road sometimes? This will really speed up the loan process as well. In conclusion, I want to tell you expansion can be fun and it can be very challenging. The more we plan for expansion and work the plan, the further ahead we will be. Get some outside help in your business. Don't try to do your company's expansion alone. This is another great thing about belonging to a trade association. You'll be able to rub shoulders with people in your own trade. You'll be able to go visit an operation that has already been through what you are about to go through. You'll find out you are not alone. You'll find many people willing to help. You'll be able to, in most associations, to hire a business coach or consultant to come into your operation and help you through the process of growing your business. As a consultant, it is fun to see the growth in companies over the years that have planned well. It is also challenging to work with companies that have not planned well and are flying by the seat of their pants. For a long time in my business in Las Vegas, that's exactly what I did. I wore out many pair of pants. Out of interest only, I took my service manager to a convention of a national association. After joining and getting involved with the association, I noticed my business started to grow. At times, it grew better when I was away on business. You've heard it said many times before, work on your business, not in it. How true that statement is. Get involved and do not be afraid to ask for help. Sometimes we need to get rid of that pride thing that a lot of entrepreneurs have. After all, a lot of us started our businesses because we knew we could do things better than everyone else, and then reality set in. You've heard the line before, don't recreate the wheel. Plan, and plan some more, and work the plan, and then plan again.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Feel free to give us a call with your comments, or if you prefer, you may fax or email our office. You're already aware of our 3-day basic business boot camps and Service Managers University programs, but something new has been added. You can now attend free webinars on both programs. Each 20-minute webinar is held every other week. To join a session, simply call our office at 1-800-432-7963. Or you can go to our website at www.grandiassociates.com. The website lists the dates and the times, and you can register to attend right online. Come listen and learn. You'll be glad you did. For more information on our 3-day basic business boot camps or Service Managers University, simply call Grandia & Associates at 1-800-432-7963 or check us out on the web. Again, the address is www.grandiassociates.com. A small investment in training can produce big profits. The Service Contractors Business CD of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandia & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.